I'm Kelly. This is only the show. I'm here with my friend this time, someone I've actually met in person, eaten with, Brian, the Brian Jin. Welcome. Welcome to Only the Show.
Hello. Well, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Brian, now I know you, but the people watching and listening may not know you. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I guess to clarify the with the name The Brian Jin, remember it's a parenthetical the. If I'm with a band, Brian Jin is a band. If I'm not, that the goes on the wayside and it's just me. So it's sort of a Swiss Army name. Let's see. I guess I'm a singer-songwriter based out of the St. Louis area of Missouri. Play guitar, ukulele, mandolin, piano, anything kind of get my hands on and figure something out. So jack of all trades, master of none, armchair historian, lover of brandy and baseball. So
excellent. I know that you have been busy lately, because when I look at your Bandcamp page, that's the main thing I go to is Bandcamp. There's a lot of recent releases going back to when you were in town. So we have a lot to cover, no shortage of material. But I really think the Haley session is special, though. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, that really stars with you. You were gracious enough to invite me down to do the Haley showcase for the YouTube channel. And, you know, so my thought was, well, I'm going to be playing some shows and might as well plan the tour around that. And I thought more thought went into that set list than any other tour stop, because it's like, well, we're going to be recording this. So do we want to just like crank out, you know, nonstop material from the new album and, you know, just do a quote unquote hit parade, even though we don't have hits? Or do we want to maybe pepper in some stuff we haven't recorded and maybe show off some new material? So we went with the latter, and went down there. We had that show, and really it wound up being sort of, I would say, kind of the album I've always wanted to make. It's raw. In the tracks where you don't hear the audience, it just sounds like a really clean, excellent studio recording. And then you've got the songs where there's audience participation and it just sounds like a great live recording. So it's kind of a combination between a Bruce Springsteen Nebraska vibe and an REM New Adventures in Hi-Fi vibe, all mixed together, maybe a little bit of a Let It Be vibe as well. So it's like, you know, I've always wanted to make an album like each one of those and kind of got to all in one.
It was a great show. I loved being there for it. And it was good to see y'all. Good to finally meet. You know, for those that don't know, folks like Brian and me have been around for years in a place called Twitter that no longer exists. And for various reasons or whatever, I don't care. I just, you know, Brian and I have known each other years. So that's just like, makes me feel really special to get to see him live, to perform live. So tell me about this song. And I want you to be real specific. Tell me about this song. What is it called? Another Way to Tell the Truth. Is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I remember we've gotten a lot of questions about the lyrical content of that. And the lyrical content behind that and so much of what we've been working on lately, it's kind of... It's a little bit different for us because we tend to try to avoid doing anything that has some kind of socio-political message behind it. And you know, we don't endorse political platforms because of the three of us, we really do sort of represent an entire wide range of ideas. So if you know, I can't come out and say, "Oh, I'm voting for this guy," and then have it be a banned statement because Nick might not be going that way and Casey might not be going that way.
Right.
So, but it does tend to, it becomes difficult when you've got certain pervasive attitudes that are going around, especially when you work in a corporate environment, because, you know, people like us still have day jobs. This is not our mode of surviving, economically anyway. But there's been a rise in DEI initiatives in corporate environments now that I feel like maybe well-intentioned, but the execution is a little bit more toxic than anyone realizes. And I believe it diminishes people down to statistics. It takes away their humanity. And so there's a lot of the lyrics are really inspired by a lot of the speech policing that goes on with DEI and political correctness. And it's very difficult. You know, you want to be specific, and it is very difficult to sort of explain the meaning of individual lyrics because I kind of have to draw you a football strategy diagram as to how I get to certain ideas behind the
No,
lyrics.
it's not just the lyrics. The verses are sung weird. There's something weird about those verses, Brian.
Sound weird.
No, I mean it's cool, especially when the harmony comes in, but the melody almost seems a little atonal or something. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know theory,
Yeah,
so I don't know the word for
it
it.
is a subdued approach. Yeah, I don't either. I think, see, when I'm writing a melody to a chord progression, I'm going for a particular mood. You know, it's that whole I'm trying to create I guess a cinematic a cinematic progression of sorts. You know, one of my favorite things to do with songwriting is my favorite I guess vibe to put out there is like the song is almost like a pressure cooker, and like there's this tension that's bubbling under the surface. And I feel like the way that those verses are approached, it creates that and then busts loose on the chorus.
Yeah, there's something, I don't know, spooky about the way the verse is sung. I guess it's more of a eerie, more of the right words that I'm looking for. But anyways, oh, and Secret Words is out too, right?
Yeah, I just kind of slid that under the door. We are we've got a long list of songs that I have sort of on the mixing board right now on the work table, and a lot of them, and I've shared some of them with you. They're kind of more ambitious than what we've undertaken, and so it's sort of like I'm feeling a little overwhelmed, especially because so many of them are. They're a little bit more socially meaningful right now. And so dealing with those topics day in and day out, I'm trying to mix and rework parts and, you know, it eventually, and I'm sure you know this too, you work on something so long, it kind of is like, I need to step away from this.
Yeah.
And so we're looking for best strategies to move forward. Like, am I going to be taking a cold break for a couple of months and then just kind of let what's out there be out there? Or am I just going to power through. And I feel like if I power through, it's not going to be as good if as if I don't take a break. But Your Secret Words is right now on Bandcamp. It will hit the streaming platforms in March.
Yeah, that's a great song.
Oh, thank you.
What vibe are we talking about with that song, to use your wordage?
That's more of a a happy-go-lucky kind of. It feels like an upbeat sort of. I don't know. It sort of feels like I don't know if hopeful is the right word. The protagonist in the song is somebody is they're, they've got something to look forward to, and I feel like that's kind of what keeps really keeps everybody going at different points in their life is they've got something to look forward to, and that something to look forward to the protagonist doesn't even know because all they know is there are these secret words they want to hear and they can just hear them, but they don't know what they are yet.
Do you approach lyrics the same time every time, or do you have a bunch of different ways you go about writing the lyrics for your songs?
Well, I think I would say it's probably the same approach, and in that I don't know where they're going to come from or where they're going to go. It's like I can't sit down and say, hey, I want to write a song about XYZ. I will sit and I'll play a progression, and I'll just be noodling on a guitar or ukulele, and I'll hear something like, hey, I like that. And then I'll just sort of get into this meditative state. And then it's sort of like I let my brain on its own decide what's going to come out. And then that sort of determines the route. And with a lot of songs, like going back to our previous studio album, You Are the Moon, the song Nobody's Fate. Casey and I wrote the lyrics to that together, and in that case, it's just sort of like I'll come up with a phrase, and then we'll work on that phrase, and then we'll just kind of paste the song together in this whole stream of consciousness method, and then at the end, it sounds like a cohesive idea, even if we don't know what that cohesive idea is.
Right. It doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be fluid, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and so and so songs like Another Way to Tell the Truth, if you take it line for line, it may sound, but there is a common theme that ties it all together, and it's sort of like, I don't know, stream of consciousness writing is weird. Like you're allowing your dreams to write your songs for you.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I have never thought about that. Now you play a bunch of instruments, like you said earlier. Do you also write on all the instruments, or are you just a guitar guy, or how does that work?
I've written songs on guitar, ukulele, and piano, but one instrument that I play that I've not been able to write anything with yet has been the mandolin. And so, oh, and also, I play banjo as well. And it still resides at a previous bandmate's house for the last several years. And I keep trying to get it back, and nothing ever happens with it. So, but I've written a song on banjo as well.
Huh. Do you have a favorite?
Instrument.
Yeah.
Lately it really has been the ukulele. Just because it's so simple, and it's simple but challenging in the same way, as you only have four strings to work with. But what I like, I tend to play the ukulele a little bit differently than what you might think of as far as ukulele, as long as it's not this islandy kind of. And a really good example of that is our song Moments Flat, which I would still say is the perfect pop song because it contains no guitars. But it's just this finger-picked ukulele and this haunting melody with harmony over it, and Nick provides this great synthesizer string section to it, and but the ukulele is just, it's, I never knew ukulele could sound sad. It does.
Man, hearing you talk about it makes me want to go check it out. We talked about how we used to be on Twitter. Tell us, for those who've made it this far, tell us where else to find you. Like, I mean, everything's so disjointed now, we need to cover the social media of every guest because they're going to be different for each guest.
Well, yeah, X, formerly known as Twitter, at the Brian Ginn, on Instagram at Brian Ginn Music. I think it's the same one for Facebook. I don't post a whole lot lately. Just I've had a lot. I've been kind of trying to be disconnected for a little while, just to try to kind of, I'm trying to become a reader. I'm trying to become more of a reader and spend a little bit more time in the 3D world. And so, but yeah, I'll post updates and I'll plug other artists. And one I would like to plug, of course, is Goldberry, who helped us out with a Christmas single, last minute Christmas single back in December. We did a cover of "Happy Christmas, War Is Over." And their harmonizing is just amazing.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check them out. If you would send me a link to them, and I'll put them in the show notes. Brian says, check this band
Sure.
out. I'm a sucker for harmony. You know how that goes. But,
Yes.
okay, hold on. I gotta look at my iPad here, Brian. Just one second. I'll edit this part out. Yeah, okay. Brian, would you say that there's a central or pervasive theme running through a large section or all of your music? What have you been stuck on, you think, that you might have been exploring that you want listeners to take away? A theme?
Wow. That's very hard to say, just because again, so much of the lyrical content does come from a stream of consciousness approach. So, I mean, there are various lyrics or ideas that pop up. I never realized I had mentioned the moon so much until I kind of was looking back on not only the last album, but in 21, a single called "The the song "Riviera," "Until the Moon Goes Down." I just I was like, I must have fixing with them. I must be a lunatic.
Ha! See what you did there. What's next? You mentioned something about something coming. Let's talk more about that.
Well, we've got all of the songs and some of the singles that have come out, like "Sleep Driving," "Another Way to Tell the Truth," are going to be part of the next album. Because let's face it, that's how you get all of the songs listened to on an album now, is you release them all as singles.
Right.
They get heard that way. But being a sucker for the album format, I can't escape it. I've got to put a whole program together. And so all of the songs for the album, for the most part, are written and arranged and mostly recorded. There's a lot of tightening up that needs to be done. I mean, if doing this was my 40-hour a week job, then I would could realistically, and if everybody, if it was everybody in the band, if it was their 40-hour a week job, we could probably get this whole thing done in 2 days. But because it isn't, I would like to say that maybe by the end of the summer we'll have it all finished. But we've got this album, for the most part, put together, right down to we have the title, and I have even contender for cover art. It's the ingredients
Wow.
are there, they just need to be mixed up.
Wow. Wow. Hey, if I can ever help you with that, let me know, man.
Hey, I would appreciate all the help I can get, because especially there I'm gonna do a little bit of a not song teaser here, just because I've shared it with you. That song Soma, that has become quite a bear, because there's so much in it, and it is just a crazy undertaking for those who aren't familiar with acts like Jethro Tull or King Crimson. There's a lot of chord or a lot of time signature changes in it, and there's a lot of instrumental breakdown, and it's like,
Oh, wow, that sounds real challenging.
there is no way we will ever be able to play this song live, unless we get like six or seven studio session musicians up on the stage with us to play. Organ, piano, ukulele, acoustic guitar, two or three electric guitars, bass guitar, drums. It's just
Wow.
it's bigger than I anticipated going with it. And another one, which we performed this song at Haley's, and a song called Venus.
Oh yeah.
That one we recorded, and it too kind of exploded into this bigger than anticipated idea, with like a horn section, a string section, three different guitars. It's just become this enormous progressive rock undertaking that we had in mind when we really started working as a band back 4 years ago.
That's awesome. I'm all about that, man. Just let me know if I can do anything and send me a Dropbox link or a Google Drive link. And well, Brian, thanks so much for coming on Only the Show. We sure appreciate it. And let me know, like I said, send me a text of what to put in the show notes, and I'll put all your socials and everything in there. You want to say anything to your fans before we part?
I just appreciate everybody who continues to play our music, and shouting back to the song Nobody's Fate. We are celebrating now 51,000 streams on Spotify for that. So,
Wow.
a lot of that comes from that song being placed on playlists. And I just really hope that everyone who's heard it really loves it that much. I know it's a very special song for us. We just appreciate everything everybody does when they move us forward a little bit.
Excellent. Well, on that note, we'll see you next time when you put out that album at the end of the summer or something.
Yeah,
All right, man.
looking forward to it.